Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is April 2003, Baghdad. The spring of 2003. Raith Abdulahad is in Baghdad, and his new book, A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East Long War, record from that moment the entry of the Americans into the tragedy and mystery of Iraq in the 20th century and before. Raith, congratulations and good evening. You are in Baghdad observing these moments before the American Armor Column arrives. And at some point you see a gathering of American soldiers and Iraqis, Baghdad citizens, around a statue of Saddam Hussein in front of the Meridian and Sheraton Hotel. I'm following your reporting. What do you observe, and what does it tell you now, all these years later, about the American presentation to the citizens of Iraq? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I mean, you know, it's the most important image is the image that keep repeating itself again and again on TV, as if it's that image to justify all that came after. I stood there. I saw an American Marine unit. I followed them. I stood in the square and I saw these a few Iraqis who tried to topple the statue. And you know, I have to say, the crowd of journalists gathered around the statue, which much larger, much bigger than the Iraqis themselves. And of course, all what you see on TV cameras is a group of Iraqis. But if you expand the lens a bit, if you stand on the other side, you would see a much larger group of journalists, foreign journalists, gathered around the statue, waiting for the statue to be toppled. And of course, eventually, the Marines kind of bring one of their big kind of trucks and one of these armored vehicles and put the noose around the statue and pull down the statue. And that's the image that plays again and again on TV. It's the image, it's the moment I personally thought that this regime was over. But it was not a large Iraqi crowd who toppled the statue of Saddam Hussein.
And that in itself is an introduction to the continual contradictions of the next years of the American presence, 2003 until the formal withdrawal in 2011, although we all know that American presence continues in Iraq and in Kurdistan. We start at that moment because who is Raith Abdulahad at that moment? He's been waiting along with all of Iraq since the American bombing campaign started in the middle of March. The previous month, you have been on a wandering tour. I picture you on a green bicycle. I don't know why. That's the way I read your book. And at one point, you're detained by Iraqi security, and you have two $50 bills in your shoes. What happens, Raith, and what does that tell you about the old regime?
So it was actually a green bicycle, an old secondhand bicycle. And I was during the war, I was an architect, before the war, I was an architect. I loved taking these tours around the city, taking pictures, making some sketches. And during the war, stupidly, I was cycling around the city, taking pictures of bombed buildings. Kind of, I thought I need to document that from an architecture perspective. And of course, a man with a camera taking pictures in a city is basically, a spy in the regime's, definition. I was arrested, but the officer who arrested me knew that the game was over, that the Americans were very near. He confiscated, he took my camera, one of my cameras, and I bribed him with a $50 bill. And he let me go, and he told me not to leave the house, which exactly what I did. For 3 days, I locked myself inside the house until my neighbor came knocking at my door and telling me the Americans are here.
The Americans are here. Now, what follows the Americans are here pulling a statue over is the looting of the city. And I picture it as if people are coming out into a world that is entirely new, but they've been stockpiling for days and they don't know whether there's going to be food or water or medicines again. So living through the looting of the city, at least those early days, who was in charge? Anybody? Were people wandering the streets with weapons? Was there a war? Was there a sense of something worse coming? Can you recall for us, Ray?
It was the most absurd contradiction, John. I mean, at one point you have this American army so armed, you know, Abram tanks, armored vehicles, you name it, soldiers. And at the same time, you have utter chaos in the streets. So you have looting, burning, you have people shooting in the middle of the street. So that sense of contradiction, at one point you see those American soldiers standing, sometimes arresting people, sometimes detaining looters, other times just standing by and watching the looting going on. And of course, you know, the contradiction between securing the Ministry of Oil and letting the Iraqi museum getting looted, that is an image that stays in the mind of all Iraqis.
Yes, and it also tells me what you don't see is that the Americans are not organized, extremely not organized for what comes after the fall of the regime. You meet an old man who says the Americans will fix everything. That was a general opinion at the time, that the Americans couldn't be this disorganized.
You know, John, I think for most of the Iraqis, they wanted to see the end of this regime of Saddam Hussein. I don't think anyone wanted to see a war, wanted to see another U.S. bombing of Baghdad. I mean, we've been bombed by the Americans in 91, we've been bombed in 98. So no one wanted to see another bombing, but I think everyone wanted to see the end of Saddam. And once the statue was toppled and the regime collapsed, I think most of the Iraqis went into this Faustian deal. Okay, the Americans have invaded. Well, at least they will fix the electricity. They will turn Baghdad into another prosperous town because, you know, this is America again. This is the image the people have of such a well-armed army invading a city. And of course, what follows is, you know, American reconstruction companies and all this. But the utter chaos, the level of disorganization, it's almost criminal negligence. It is criminal action.
You meet a journalist, James Meek is what my note says, of The Guardian. And you secure a job that's going to lead you to become a journalist yourself. You become a translator. Was that a surprise to you, Raif, that suddenly you are the voice of Baghdad to the London readership?
I mean, of course it was a surprise. I mean, the end of the first day, we kind of hung out and we went around the city and I showed them a couple of buildings and he says, well, I'm hiring you as a translator. I mean, let alone I don't know anything about journalism. I have no idea how to progress, how to be a fixer in a city at war, how to do journalism. And it's basically, I call myself the accidental journalist, but it started with, you know, doing journalism in my own backyard, going to my own friends and the streets and the neighborhoods, before going to different cities and different parts of Iraq. And I want to emphasize this, that part of me was exploring my country for the first time, just like the foreign journalists, because movement was so restricted in Iraq. The regime police and security services, you couldn't just hop on a car and drive all over the country without a purpose, let alone without a proper ID card, which I didn't have. So part of me was going to all these towns and cities, Najaf, Karbala, other parts of Iraq, for the first time, actually.
Raith Abdul Ahad, the author of A Stranger in Your Own City, travels in the Middle East Long War. The Americans have arrived in Baghdad. What is it that they were witnessing? How did we get to this point of the bombings and the war? We need to start when Raith is very young in his father's arms in 1980, witnessing the Iran-Iraq war. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Mm-hmm. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.